Please welcome Gene Melter.
Well, all this talk of groping in high places has me reminiscing about the times I was subject to unwanted sexual attention from men. And most of these incidents occurred when I was a young single woman living in San Francisco. Now, in the 1980s in San Francisco, the city was filled with gay men and also progressive straight men. But there are also plenty of unenlightened straight men I had to deal with. And also perverts, flat-out perverts. And I had not one but two encounters on public transportation with two separate penises. And looking back, I regret that I didn't yell and scream and clobber those guys with my purse, and instead scurried, you know, down the aisle and got off the next stop. But I forgive myself because it's hard to have any presence of mind when you're confronted with a penis and that situation, and so unexpected in a public, crowded situation like that. But my story is about a third encounter with a third penis belonging to my landlord. Now, I just want to say this is not an upsetting story. So it shouldn't trigger any bad memories for any of you. Now, and I would guess that every single woman in this room has been sexually harassed and or assaulted numerous times. So that's why I say that. I don't want to upset anybody. But unless you're very, very fragile, this story shouldn't upset you. And I'm more fragile than anyone. So I think we're okay. And I also want to say that even though every woman in this room, I believe, has been harassed or assaulted, I don't think anyone has had this exact experience. And you can tell me when I'm done if that's true. So after college, I joined a religious sort of community, like a do-gooder Catholic community, and I lived a life of service and celibacy in Fresno for a year. And then from there, I moved to Berkeley, and I moved in with this elderly woman. I was one of her caretakers. I worked off my room and board taking care of her on a couple days a week. And then, but aside from that, I had time to work for money, so I had a few odd jobs. And my plan was to save enough money and move to San Francisco. That was my dream. And my family knew about this plan, and I have a big family. I'm the youngest of eight, and some of them are kind of caretaker types. And so I had this one sister, Mary, who's about 10 years older. She was worried about this. She was worried about me, this young, innocent woman moving to the big city by herself. And so she took matters into her own hands, and she found me a living situation she thought would be safe. So she had a college friend who owned a home, her own home in San Francisco, and this home had a basement studio, and the studio happened to be vacant. You know, how perfect is that? So the two of them arranged everything, and one day I packed up my 68 Dodge Dart with my few belongings and took my leave of the old lady and drove across the Bay Bridge to San Francisco, moved into this place. And it seemed like a lovely situation. It's sort of a Spanish-y house in the Richmond District, which is kind of residential and quiet, two blocks from Golden Gate Park. And my studio was nice, windows looking out on the backyard. It was just a darling little place. And so this little family lived above. I lived right below them and then behind this garage, which had been converted to a ceramic studio for the husband. And at first it seemed like a great situation. They seemed nice, but pretty soon I realized that this was a very troubled little family. So the wife and husband, both in their 30s, both worked full time, and they had a 2-year-old. And they were very harried, stressed out people. And And they hadn't figured out, I think, all their systems and their methods and for dealing with this two-year-old. And so she was just a tyrant. And so hour after hour, I would listen to them, her screaming and, you know, tantruming and her little feet pounding on the floor and them yelling and trying to control her and yelling at each other, blaming each other for her terrible behavior. And every time they were trying to get her dressed in the morning or put her to bed at night, feeding her, everything was an ordeal. And they fought about the child and how to deal with her in front of the child. And then they fought about a lot of other things. Okay, here I want to intervene again and say, don't worry about the child. She's my sister's Facebook friends with her, and she's all grown up, and she's a very happy, successful person. So you don't have to worry about her. No harm done. So this situation actually turned out to be not very, you know, livable. And I would say the worst, the most uncomfortable part of it was the husband started seeking out my company. And I'd hear this little knock on the door. You know, he'd come down the stairs, or maybe out of his studio, there'd be this quiet knock on the door, and I'd answer the door. And then he'd always had a pretext, like he wanted to show me something in the apartment or show me one of his child's drawings or something like that. And then the subject would always turn to his wife and how irrational and unreasonable she was. And I would just listen. I didn't know how to handle the situation. I would listen until I could think of an excuse to get rid of him. And I think he thought I was nice. I was certainly seemed probably sympathetic, and I didn't criticize him like she did constantly. But I really didn't like him at all, and found him boring and repulsive. So this went on like this. Sometimes I'd babysit the child, and I had no problem controlling her, and I actually loved her a lot. But it didn't keep me from secretly plotting to get out of there as soon as I could find an apartment I could afford. Well, this one night I hear the little knock on the door, and I kind of had to answer because I knew that he knew that I was home, you know. So I reluctantly go to the door and open it. And he says, he's got a kind of a mischievous little smile on his face. And he says, "Jean, come into the studio. I want to show you something." And I say, okay. And I follow him into the garage. And so there's like a potter's wheel, and there's ceramic, you know, bowls and cups and all that, all the stuff he's made, all shelves and tables are covered with it. And then he picks up an object and he hands it to me. And I look at it, and I say nothing. I don't know what it is. And so I'm just stare at it, and he says, "Don't you know what it is?" And I say, "No, sorry, I don't." And he said, "Well, I just made it. You know, I made a cast, and then I filled it with, I think he said, plaster. You know, it's my penis." And at the word penis, I reacted so violently. I mean, my whole body sort of spasmed, you know, and this thing flew out of my hand, and he kind of caught it, and I just ran out of there and ran into my apartment. And now we avoided each other for several days, and when we did finally interact, no one mentioned the clay penis, and I never told his wife, and I'm pretty sure he never told his wife, but the story doesn't end there. Because a few days after the clay penis incident, a good friend of mine and her boyfriend came to visit. And, you know, just to entertain them, I told them this story, and they thought it was pretty funny. And one of them said, "Well, tell us about the penis. Was it flaccid or erect?" And I said, I don't know. And they said, "Well, what do you mean you don't know?" And I said, "Well, I just wasn't like paying attention to the details. I just don't know." But the truth was, I'd had, even at the age of 24, not that much experience with penises, and I wasn't you know, up on penis behavior, so I actually didn't even know exactly what they were talking about. Well, they wanted to find out the answer to this question. They wanted to see the penis. And so they said, "We're going to go in there and find this penis." And I said, no, you're not. And they said, we can easily slip in there, find the penis, take a look, get back here without getting caught. And I said, well, you know, what if you are caught? We have no right to be in there. How could I possibly explain, you know, what you're doing there? I was really nervous about this. But they were insisting, and they actually, like, made a move to the door. I had to physically block. So essentially, I'm protecting the penis, you know, the privacy of the penis, and I block the door so they can't get through. And I stood there until they promised that they would respect my wishes. So that's my story. And I'd like to know, has anyone else been sexually harassed / assaulted by a clay penis? Show of hands. No, that's what I thought. Thank you.